Hello everyone, and welcome back to Friends Till the End, your one-stop shop for all things Friends as we run down the classic sitcom, episode by episode. I'm Michael, and I've seen Friends well over 100 times.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I've seen Friends well over 0 times.
It is day 3 of our 7 podcasts in 7 days. 7 days, 7 podcasts?
7 podcasts in 7 days.
Okay. Where we kick off a new season with releasing the first 7 episodes back to back in one crazy week. We're on season 8 and we've just finished watching the one where Rachel tells... dot dot dot. What do you call those 3 dots?
An ellipses.
Ellipses. I don't think we call it that in Scotland.
Oh, what do you call it?
Don't know.
Oh.
Dot right. Dot dot.
You're a master of letters. How do you not know this?
Those aren't letters. Those are dots.
Ah, it's close enough.
No. So excited about this one. I know you definitely remember everything that happened in this episode.
I do. Do you want to say why, Michael?
Well, full disclosure, we probably watched this episode about 6 months ago.
That's not what I meant. I meant more the fact that we recorded... We watched this episode, and then we recorded, I'd say, more than half.
Yeah.
And...
we got a good chunk in.
The mic died.
Yep. The mic ran out of battery. It's a classic podcast problem. Happens to the best of them.
So...
Mark Maron, Scott Aukerman, Paul F. Tompkins.
Yes, all those guys.
They've all had it. It's an issue. Just like co-hosts talking over each other, like... Stop
like
it.
Like what?
I hate you so much. So, yeah, we started recording that an undisclosed amount of time ago, and then the battery ran out, and then we were like, let's just leave it on the shelf for a little while. And here we are now, ready to talk about it. It's going to be great. People are clamoring for Bamboozled to come back. It's coming back at the end of 7 podcasts in 7 days. I'm writing up the questions as we speak. But before we get into talking about the episode, well, there's a couple of things I want to talk about, actually, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, everybody loves it. They want to hear a bit of friendly advice, Elizabeth.
Friendly advice.
The things in life that are bringing us life right now that we can share with other people. Do you have one? I've just kind of sprung it on you. I can get us started if you want. Mine brings me a lot of joy, a lot of peace, a lot of zen. Are you fucking listening to me?
I'm just taking a sip of wine.
I was inspired recently with a trip back home with all of my family who are fitness fanatics. Let's just call it what it is. They're bloody health freaks. But something that I took to doing while we were visiting my family in Scotland was getting up early and going for a run with my sister and then going for a swim in a nearby reservoir. And that's something that I've been trying to keep up now we're back here, because we're very lucky where we live. We live quite near the sea and we've got a couple of lakes near us as well. So I've been getting up in the darkness before the sun is even peeking over the horizon. I'm going for a wee run in the dark and then finishing up with either a wee duke in the sea or swim in the lake, and it's been absolutely lovely. So... bit of early morning exercise, but more specifically, just swimming in a natural body of water. It's my friendly advice. It's very, very good for the soul. Very cleansing, I would say.
That's nice.
Thanks. I've been liking it. I'm going again tomorrow. As long as I don't get too drunk on this podcast.
I'm already there.
Yep.
So.
Well, cheers, buddy.
Oh, okay. That was not a very good sound. Can we do another one? It'll do. Anywho.
That's our cheap glasses for you, I'm afraid.
Is one plastic? Because that was a weird clunk.
You keep on breaking glasses. What's bringing you joy?
So, also, when we were in Scotland, I found that the trend was indoor plants. Mm. A lot of people have indoor plants. And there are shops dedicated to just that endeavor. So after we came back for a couple weeks, I decided to test my green thumb. And I got 3 different types of indoor plants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they are. I don't know how to take care of them. But I thought that they looked cool, and I let Nora pick out 1 or 2 of them just because she thought they looked cool. And you know what? I really like them. I like having live things around that aren't like
people,
animals, things like that. I mean, we have fish, so those guys are cool.
Those are basically, like, they're just one level up from a plant, though.
Aww.
They don't know what's going on. Aww. They don't know which way is up.
They've lived a long time.
Yeah, they're definitely all the same guys.
But yes, no, so I have these 3 different plants. I brought 1 into my work, and it looks so nice, and it really does kind of change the energy and your attitude. So I recommend, get yourself a little houseplant, just a little guy, even like a succulent or a cactus.
Mm-hmm.
They're so low maintenance. Just a little living thing that you can be proud of taking care of.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that little trip to Scotland was good for us, wasn't it?
Indoor plants, exercise.
Swimming in natural bodies of water.
Drinking till we can't remember.
Yeah. It was a lovely trip. Oh, man, brilliant. That's another story for another time. Another thing that's happened in the 6 months since we last released an episode, you know, it takes a while to watch 7 episodes and edit them, and it's hard work. One thing that's happened, which won't have impacted your life at all, Elizabeth, but was big for me at the time, was the Friends reunion show.
Ooh.
That went up on HBO Max.
Right, right, right.
This is where the gang all got back together, and they kind of relived the glory days.
Now, you did make me privy to some information, such as the way that each cast member came into the space and really enjoyed it. I have no idea what was said, but it was nice. I have visuals just based on what you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't watch it yet because, you know, it's spoiler heavy. It's a whole season retrospective, so they kind of talk about how the season ends, and I think
the last season?
Yeah, it's just like everything. They talk about the last episode, so like they kind of relive that. Mm-hmm. All of that's kind of important. So I think it's important that you stay off that, but it would be nice to go back and revisit it at the end when we've done our watch through.
Yeah, that would be good.
But I mean, I'm always a wee bit cynical of like these kind of bring them all back together. Always, it can sometimes feel like a bit of a cash grab, and it's kind of not that fun. And you know, it was like a 90-minute show, but and you know, if you follow our Twitter account, I kind of did a watch along with it. But I enjoyed it way more than I thought it was going to. And yeah, like the first 20 minutes is they rebuilt the sets. They rebuilt the apartment and Central Perk, the 2 apartments and the Central Perk. And like they have the cast members arrive like individually. So I can't even remember who arrives first. I think it might have been David Schwimmer. And he's kind of looking around and he's just like, oh, this is so great. This is so cool. And then just like one by one, another cast member comes in and joins them. And they all get their kind of, hello.
Mm.
And like, you know, they say at the beginning, like they'd all been together since the show ended. And I think it's been 21 years or whatever it is. Since the show ended, they had all been together just one other time in the last, like, 20, 21 years.
Oh, wow.
So, like, they brought them all back then. And it was just so nice, like, seeing them all kind of interact. And it was, like, because they brought them in one by one, it was, like, kind of different interaction. It was, like, Schwimmer and then Lisa Kudrow came in and, like, they were chatting for a bit together. And then, like, other people arrived and it was great. So there were lots of different parts of it. There was, you know, that kind of part of it. And then there was like a live part where they're in front of a live audience and they're being interviewed by James Corden, which is definitely less interesting. But like the behind the scenes stuff and like what went into the casting and all of that, I loved. I thought it was really interesting.
I think it would be good to watch it at the end.
Mm. This isn't hot breaking news. I think anyone listening to this podcast is probably a big fan of Friends and has probably already watched it. But if you've been desperate to know my thoughts on it, I liked it. I thought it was good. It was a good show.
Should we talk about this episode?
We better before you pass out, eh?
Mm.
You doing okay there?
I'm doing fine.
Flying through that glass of wine.
It's a small glass.
Just kidding. Cheers. Why does it sound like that? Hold on. Let me, like, do the top. It's because they're not stemless. No, I think we need
They are stemless.
It's because they don't have a stem. That was better.
It's better. Still bad. I feel like this is, like, fake glass. Flass.
We can't be trusted. Glass. All right, so season 8, episode 3, the one where Rachel tells... first aired on the 11th of October, 2001. Because... we have already recorded this. We have already taken our guesses on how many people watched this episode, so we can't do it again. So yeah, we'll just
skip it and do the next one.
Yeah, we'll just say that you won it.
I sure did.
It was 29.2 people watched this episode, and you guessed the closest. I can't remember what our guesses were, but you won it.
But I probably guessed like 29.1 because I'm that good.
And I think I guessed 29.31, so I was just off by 0.1. Right.
So yeah, I won. I was a lot closer.
Okay, so take us through this episode, Elizabeth. What happened?
So
you definitely know everything that happened. I'm going to cover my notes here, and you, I said it's been a while, Elizabeth. We should rewatch this episode, and you were like, we started watching it, and you're like, nah, I remember this. This is okay.
I do.
Stop trying to take my notes out of my head.
I'll do it. So we open in Monica and Chandler's apartment.
Do we, though? We can call them the Bings now.
The Bings.
Okay, I don't like that.
They are about to leave for their honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so excited, and everyone is coming to say goodbye. So Joey and Phoebe are saying, yay, hooray, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Monica must have packed for Chandler, because she mentions him having a Speedo, and he's like, oh, I don't have a Speedo. I have other normal clothes.
Okay, those were the first 30 seconds that we did watch today, so let's see how well you remember the rest of it.
So,
let me take it from here, Toots.
What's Toots? What, am I farting a lot?
No, that's me
It's like Toots. It's supposed to be Toots.
Well, it's spelled the same, though. Toots.
It's not Toots.
T-O-O-T-S, right?
Well, it's Toots.
Well, how would you spell that?
Toots.
Well, that's my accent.
You do not say Toots.
Come here, Toots. Yeah, I would.
So when we say that Nora, if she farts, we say she toots. So that's the same to you. This is for the birds.
It's not a good nickname. There's a reason why, like, that Toots kind of term of endearment is died out with the madman.
Oh my god.
Okay, Rachel arrives. She's like, hey guys, just so you know, on your honeymoon, I'm gonna tell the father. And she thinks that's a hot, juicy piece of goss, and the gang all kind of pretend to be, like, shocked. But then they're like, oh, we already know. We worked it out. How did they work it out, Elizabeth?
The sweater.
Yep. Ross claimed the sweater, which, of course, Rachel doesn't know that he claimed the sweater, so the gang all know. Monica's excited because she's going to be an aunt. Rachel wants advice on how to break the news to Ross.
Wait, I'm going to be an aunt.
You are an aunt.
Another time.
Mm.
That's new. That's happened since...
Has it?
I don't know.
I don't think people care.
Well, I care.
Okay.
My brother and sister-in-law are having a baby.
That's nice.
Babies are nice.
Do you think they'll call her Guntherella?
I hope so.
Yeah.
It is a girl. So Nora is going to have another little friend to boss around.
Rachel wants advice on how to break the news to Ross. The gang don't have any suggestions. Chandler doesn't know anything that's going on here.
Yeah, Michael, what?
Chandler didn't know what was going on. He's like, how come I didn't know any of this? And they're like, you can't keep a secret. And he's like, I can tell a secret. I didn't tell this secret about Monica. And Joey's like, oh, but you'll tell me later, right? And he's like, you already know. Because he's not good at keeping secrets.
Yeah.
Just like he's not good at catching. Remember that?
Right.
He was a dropper. All right, episode opens. Joey and Phoebe are hanging out in Joey and Rachel's apartment. We need to reset. It's been a while. Joey and Rachel are living together.
Yeah.
Yeah, we good with that? Phoebe realizes that she left her guitar in the Bing's apartment. And she's like, I need my guitar. Mm. Does she, though? We haven't seen her play the guitar in a while.
Well, we don't see her in her apartment much. We really don't get those moments. It's usually just Ross's apartment. Not even. It's more just the two that are across the hall, and then Ross's sometimes. We really don't get
her. We get Ross's quite a bit now that he's moved into Ugly Naked Guy's old apartment.
Yeah, we don't get hers as much. And I wonder how far away it is from there. I always think that when she's there. I'm like, well, Russ is just across the way, so it can't
but
be far.
But it can't be too far, because otherwise they would have not stayed, like, they wouldn't be this close in front. Like, they would have drifted apart if she lived, like, New York's a big place. If she'd, like, lived, moved to the other side of, like, town. Where did they live in New York? They live near Central Park. Near Central Park?
I would assume, but I think it's, like, the West Village area.
I don't know where that is. Is that in Manhattan?
I don't know, man.
Okay. Remember when we recorded an episode in Central Park?
Yeah.
That was nice.
It was nice. There was a guy doing really big bubbles.
It was so full of life.
And squirrels.
Anyway, neither of them have a key to the apartment, so they call an old favorite.
Traeger.
Mr. Traeger. He is like one of my favorites. I'm
he's
a big
great.
Fan of his.
No, yeah, he's great.
He was in Wayne's World. He ran the public access station that Wayne and Garth did their show on. And it was great.
So great.
And he's good in it. Joey calls him and he's like, hey, I smell gas coming from Monica and Chandler's apartment. Come open the door. And then he hangs up and he's like, great plan. That's going to work out real great.
It's kind of smart.
Not really.
Well, why?
Because you're going to evacuate the whole building and like...
Yeah, but check it out first before you evacuate, right?
No, definitely err on the side of caution and be like, okay, someone smells gas, let's empty the fucking building. There's like hundreds of people that live in that building. Well, maybe not hundreds, but lots of people.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
I don't know what the protocol is, man.
After they make that phone call, Ross arrives in the apartment and they're like, hey Ross, Rachel's looking for you. And Ross is like, oh no. And he's like, I know what that's all about. A little while ago we hooked up and now I think she's gonna want to dip her pen back in the company ink, or I don't know. He's being
the company ink.
I'm being obnoxious because he was being obnoxious. Yeah. He's like, oh, he wants to take another ride on the Ross roller coaster or something like that. You know, I'm not a writer for Friends, but it was something along those lines. And they're just like, they don't want to like blow up Rachel's spot, but they're just like, yeah, I don't think so. But then at the airport, there is a smoochy couple in front of Monica and Chandler.
So smoochy.
It is so smoochy.
Like a lot of PDA going on.
It's kind
of
hot.
Yeah, Michael, it was really hot.
Anyway, they get up to the check-in for the airplane, and by them I mean the smoochy couple, who are one position in front of the Bings. And the person checking them in is like, oh, you're on your honeymoon, congratulations, we're going to upgrade you to first class. Boom.
Dude, you can ask to be upgraded, or, like, there are a lot of ways that you can get upgraded, and I don't think people know that.
I mean, you can ask.
You can always ask. You can say,
every
like,
time
oh,
I've
this
asked, they've said, nah.
Well, yeah, but it's worth trying.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. I think if I worked there, I'd be like, yeah, great, whatever. I don't think I would just immediately upgrade someone.
This was like, right, I think this is right when like air service turned, or maybe it was a little before that, but like air flight used to be so fancy. It used to be like, come on in, sir. Here's a 3-course dinner for you. We're going to serve you champagne all the way through. But
well,
now
this is...
it's just...
a month after
it's just
9/11.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but they're not acknowledging that in the show.
Of course not.
But, yeah, I don't know where to go with that. Let's
no, I just happened to notice that it literally is a month. The show premiered a month after 9/11.
Yes, that comes up in the Friends trivia. Remember we do trivia at the end of the episode?
Of course I remember Michael. I remember everything about Friends.
Anyway, there's no upgrade. So they get an upgrade, and then it's Chandler and Monica, who I affectionately refer to as Mondler.
No.
Chanica?
Chanica. Yeah, Chanica's easier to say than Mondler.
I like Mondler. I'm calling them Mondler. Oh, God. There's no upgrade for them, and then I think Monica makes a fuss, so Chandler's like, can we get seats apart? Anyway, there's a commotion outside of Joey's apartment. They go outside and they see Trigger is axing the door down with the fire department, which is not what they had in mind.
So why wouldn't the super have keys to all the building?
Well, as you probably don't remember.
Oh boy.
Phoebe and Joey pose this very question to Trigger, and he holds up a keychain that's got like a million keys on it. He's like, yeah. By the time I find the right key, the place will have burnt down.
So that's on him. He's not organized.
It's really on the people.
Keys hung up on the wall with all of them labeled.
It's also on the people making phony gas leak claims. Like, honestly, I don't know why they're not being fined or prosecuted or something.
But he doesn't know that.
But there's no gas leak.
Okay, but they're just saying they smell gas. They're not sure what it is. You could just be like, I didn't know. Sorry.
Anyway, back to the airport. The smoochy couple go into the first class lounge, which came with their upgrade. Mondler tried to sneak in behind them. Obviously, we've seen Chandler, like, try to get, like, good tables and stuff and, like, kind of schmooze people in the service industry before, and he's not good at it.
No.
And he continues to not be good at it. He's just sort of like, oh, nice to see you again. And then, actually, he does not bad, but it doesn't work. They're like, oh, he holds up the ticket, and they're like, oh, we can't see the number. And he's like, oh, I can tell you, it's 1A, which is pretty good, because 1A probably would be a first class seat. But it doesn't work, so Monica steals a bunch of oranges and they run away. Ross returns to his apartment and finds Rachel sitting on his doorstep. Ross continues to be obnoxious. She's like, I got something important to tell you. And he's like, I think I need to talk first. And she's like, all right then.
Thinking that it's her saying, oh, yes, I want you. And he's going to be like, no, right. No.
So he tries to let her down gently. He's like, God, Ross and Rachel, we've been on a crazy roller coaster, haven't we? So he like goes into this big spiel, and it's like really obnoxious. And then it's like, what did you want to say? And she just says, it actually makes it very easy for her, because then she's like, all right, fuck this. I'm not going to try and be easy. I'm just going to fucking shatter this guy's world. So then she's just like, I'm pregnant. And he is just silent. And like for a long time, and the audience love it because he has just like a sort of ponderous look on his face. So then she's like, I'm just gonna read a magazine.
Wait till you're ready.
Yeah, wait till you're ready. And then she's like, she kind of cuts back in, and you're the father, by the way, but you probably got that part. We then would have gone to what would have been a pretty great commercial break, but for bloody HBO Max, it just cuts right back to it. He's still stunned, he's still standing there, and then eventually he sort of comes to, and he starts freaking out, and he's like, well, we used a condom, or a condom, and they're like, well, that's not always effective, and he's like, what? And he's like, get in the box, and Rachel's trying to talk to him, and he's like, I'm not mad, I'm just concerned as a consumer that the product isn't working. And he, like, goes and gets the box, and then he, like, calls the customer complaint line or whatever it is, and Rachel's just like, well, this isn't a good time, I'll come back later. And he's like, oh, okay. And it's all very funny. Wouldn't you agree?
It was very funny, yes.
Did you feel bad for Rachel? Was it an appropriate reaction?
Yeah, for him. Yeah. I don't think he would have been anything but shocked, especially if they used protection.
What do you mean if they did use protection?
Right. So I'm saying I think well, it was an appropriate like
you're
accused, reaction. Well, it
sounds like you're saying that they didn't use protection. You're doubting
because they used protection. Which isn't always effective. It's very rare, but it can happen, right?
So Rachel leaves because Ross is really freaking out. Great work again by David Schwimmer. Great work.
Yeah, it was funny. It was really funny.
He's on fire.
He is. I hate to say it, but he is.
I don't hate to say it. I'm very pleased. This is my guy. He's kind of figured it out. And I'm so happy for him. He was also very good in the HBO reunion. You know who was the best? You know who came off the best in the HBO reunion show? Who do you think came off the best? No one came off badly, I'll say. Like, everyone had varying degrees of, like, interest in reliving things. But everyone was happy to see everyone. But in terms of, like, reliving the whole experience, who do you think came off the best?
Is it a male?
Oh, no. You gotta guess. You got a 1 in 6 chance. Who do you...
Joey.
Matt LeBlanc.
Yes!
Came off.
Yes!
So nice. And so, like, not only so happy to see everyone, but also, like, just, like, everyone kind of looked back on the experience. Some are like, oh, it was this, and I got typecast in this. And he was just like, I loved it. It was great. I spent my time with my friends. My career afterwards has been great. Like, it's just been brilliant.
Can you, like, acknowledge the fact that I guessed that?
Yeah.
1 in 6, Michael?
Yeah.
It's pretty great of me.
It's very, very good. But they were all good. No one came off bad at all. We then cut back to Mondler's apartment. They're inside now. There is no gas leak. And Traeger's like, nope, no gas leak. Here I go. And Phoebe and Joy are concerned. They're like, oh, can you fix the door and not tell Monica and Chandler? And he's like, well, I'll have to put a new lock in. They're going to know anyway. And they're like, ah, damn it. And then Traeger drops the fact that, oh, I'm going to be late for yoga. I'm going to have to miss my yoga while I'm fixing the door. And you're like, ha 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 ha, someone, you know, a blue-collar jewel like Traeger doing yoga in the early 2000s? How ridiculous. And then as he's leaving, he bumps into Ross, and he's like, oh, Ross, tell Miss whoever that I won't be there. And then they're like, namaste, namaste. That's funny. That's good. That's, you know, they're just building worlds here where Ross and Traeger go to yoga together. It's nice.
I want to go to yoga with Traeger.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Ross confides in Phoebe and Joey. He's like, oh, Rachel's pregnant and I'm the dad. And they have to kind of be like, oh, what?
This is the first I am hearing of this news.
Yes, they rather overplay it. You would expect Joey to be able to maybe act a little better in this situation. Ross is worried that he upset Rachel, which is probably a correct thing to be worried about. Because he did. And he's like, but in my defense, I just found out that condoms aren't always effective. And then Joey freaks out. He's like, what? And he's like, they should put it on the packaging. And Ross is like, they do. And then Joey, like, whips out, like a wad of them. And they all kind of, like, unfold. It's like, oh, God.
So what is that show that says, but condoms are only 99% effective out of 100 times? I can't beat those. Oh, that's Frasier.
Yeah, it's Roz.
I can't beat those odds.
Which
Frasier, right?
Frasier follows up with, yes, you've been dodging that bullet for some time now, which is a perfect response.
Back to Frasier being fucking great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're back to the honeymoon. The smooching couple are at the same hotel as Mondler. What are the odds?
Their name's probably like, I don't know, Brittany and Kyle.
Do you think it's maybe, spoiler alert, do you think it's Jenny and Greg from the next episode?
It could be, but names I don't like are Brittany and Kyle.
Okay. I like the smooching couple. I like that they're not afraid to celebrate their love.
Did I just further alienate more people?
Yeah, I mean, just add it to the list of people's names who you hate.
Sorry, everyone. I bet you're lovely people.
I love the fact that these guys are just like, always 10 seconds in front of them. It's like, you didn't get your bags quicker, or you didn't, like, they didn't go to the bathroom at any point so that Chandler and Monica could overtake them. It's like, they just always were in front.
Those dicks.
So they get to the hotel, and again, they're one spot ahead of the Bings in line, and the hotel concierge is like, oh, we want to offer you the honeymoon suite. It's like, no one booked the honeymoon suite.
That sucks. No, that one would piss me off. Not going first class, fine, whatever. But, oh, hey, yeah, here's the honey. That would make me mad.
Why are neither of these couples booking the honeymoon suite to begin
maybe
with?
Maybe they didn't know there was one. Or maybe they didn't think it was available. Or I don't know.
Didn't inquire. That was, clearly, that's your breaking point. But it was also Monica and Chandler's, because they hear this. And then they're like, oh, come on. And the couple turn around and are like, who are you guys? And Chandler's like, we're you, just 10 seconds behind. And the couple are like, well, you can have the suite. We don't care. We just love each other. We're going to bang in like a janitor's closet. We don't care. And like, they take a moment, like their love, like gives Monica and Chandler pause. They're like, oh, but then they're like, nah, we need the free stuff.
Yeah,
and they take
the
key. Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yes, I'll take the honeymoon suite. Thank you very much. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
So Joey, all right, this next scene doesn't make any sense, but basically Joey calls Monica and Chandler on their honeymoon and is like, hey, I smell gas coming from your apartment. And they're like, oh, God, break the door down and see what's happening. It's like, okay, I'll do it. And then they're like, we can't hear you breaking the door. So Joey has to, like, pick up a chair and, like, hit it off the ground, and it just completely disintegrates. Remember?
Why would they say, okay, break the door down, instead of saying, like, okay, well, why don't you call the fire department?
There's no time to waste.
No, but, like, that's just a weird thing for them to say, especially when, like, Monica's very logical.
Well, I think Joey's just like, well, do you mind if I break the door down? And they're like, yeah, do it. And, like, you didn't need to call. You could have just been, like...
Right.
They get
just
back.
He's trying to cover his ass.
But they come back from their vacations, you're like, oh, by the way, we smelled gas and we broke the door down. Here's your new key. Like, who cares? Who cares? Like, they're just...
He doesn't know he's dumb.
They're not going to pay, and they're going to get a new door. Like, who gives a shit? All right. It was dumb anyway. All right. Rachel's getting her sonogram. Ross arrives. He apologizes. And she's like, okay, that's fine. And then he... Like, he doesn't propose, but he's like, he does the sort of thing where he just assumes they're going to get married. He's like, well, everything will be fine when we get married, or something like that. And Rachel's just like, I don't want to marry you. And then Ross, having just made things kind of right, is a complete dick again, where he's like, well, you're going to need me to help raise the baby. You can't even fucking tie your shoelaces or something. And he's just like,
bitch, when do you see your son, huh?
Right, exactly. Fucking.
You ain't raising him. Those two wonderful women are.
Father of the year, Ross Geller, making Rachel feel bad when she's getting her very first sonogram. What's the difference between a sonogram and an ultrasound?
I actually really don't know.
Okay. We should find out, but we're not gonna. Ross then gets mad at Rachel, like, not wanting to marry him. Fucking hell, Ross. I love David Schwimmer, but I hate Ross.
Yeah, I know.
But then they see the baby up on the sonogram, and he's like, oh, it's so great. But then Rachel can't see it, so she gets upset.
I get this moment.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks is very early for an ultrasound. You have to do an internal ultrasound at that point, and it's like a curling wand all up in there that you control.
But that's
yourself.
Not what they're doing here.
I think it is.
They're just doing the jelly on the belly.
No, I actually think it is. We watched a little while ago, but I think they don't really show much.
Okay.
Honestly. Okay. I do think that they did it more accurately. That early, you do have to go in an internal. It's so early.
But did they have that available in 2001? That feels like a fairly recent thing.
I don't think it would show up
Listen,
on your belly.
Who's the expert on the female body here, me or you?
Fuck you. So me. And anywho, that early, you go in internally.
Okay.
And you get a better scope of things. And you, as the patient, handle it yourself.
Okay,
you,
I really don't think she was handling it herself. But okay.
You put it in yourself, and then they can take over,
fine,
whatever.
Fine.
Anywho.
She can't see it, and she gets upset. Sorry, go on.
But, like, I completely get that as someone who has experienced pregnancy. That it is, they're like, oh, and here's this, and here's this. And I'm like, huh? And only it's when they're bigger that you're like, oh, yeah, see, I see the profile. But they're like, and here is their kidneys, and here is the the phalanges. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking. I honestly didn't even believe that Nora was a girl until she was born.
Well, as someone who's also experienced pregnancy, I completely agree with you.
So, there's nothing you could say on this topic that would be accurate.
I was in the room when it happened.
I don't give a shit where you were. You have nothing to say about any of this.
I saw Hamilton in the last 6 months, by the way. That's a good show. Not live, but it was on Disney Plus.
What are you talking about? Everyone saw it on Disney Plus.
It was good. Oh, so you didn't?
No, because I'm not going to see it on Disney Plus instead of live.
So good. You could do both. In the room where it happened. Anyway. So then Ross kind of helps. He's like, it's this little squiggly dot over here. And she's like, oh yeah, it's great. And he's like, you see it? And she's like, no. And then he helps her. And she does see it. And
it is kind of sweet.
It is. It's nice.
It's a sweet moment.
They needed it. And the episode ends. The gang all meet up. Not Mondler, because they're on their honeymoon, but the other four meet up and they're like, hey, we just had the sonogram, and Rachel shows the picture and they're like, hey, we can't see it, and Rachel's like, hey, yeah, I struggled at first, it's and then she's like, oh Ross, I lost it again.
Fair. So that early, it's just like a little circle.
Thank goodness Ross was there to mansplain where her baby was.
You know what? Typically, they don't even do ultrasounds that early unless there's, like, some issue.
But they do sonograms, apparently.
What's the difference? Google it right now.
Well, we'll look it up for next time. I gotta look up the trivia. Well, that was the one where Rachel tells... What did you think?
I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you like about it?
I liked all those different storylines. I like the Chanukah things.
The who?
Chanukah.
Who is that?
Chandler and Monica.
Oh, Mondler.
Chanukah, right.
We'll put a poll on Facebook. Up Facebook. Fuck. Twitter.
Ooh. Duh. No, I thought the whole thing was good. Yeah, I liked it. I liked how raw it kind of was at the end there. I think it's just because of someone who has experienced pregnancy. I like that because it's like so emotional and especially when it's not a planned pregnancy, there's a lot that goes with that.
Mm. Yes, as someone who's experienced pregnancy, I agree.
Michael, I wasn't really asking your opinion. I agree, but though. Thank you for just saying that.
We both agree.
Okay.
And I think that's a
you haven't
thing.
Experienced pregnancy.
I have experienced pregnancy.
You have secondhand experienced pregnancy.
All right, trivia for this episode.
Oh my god.
The one where Rachel tells. Remember, you have to tell me if you find this trivia interesting or not.
Can't wait.
Okay, when Ross and Rachel are talking at the end of the show, the Magna Doodle has I Love New York written on it. This was filmed after the 9/11 attacks, and the doodle was a way of showing sympathy for the people of New York City.
I guess.
Yep. Okay. Good. Oh, boy. Okay. Part of the episodes were rewritten after the 9/11 terrorist attacks because of a subplot involving Chandler and Monica being arrested and detained at the airport. Chandler pointed at a sign stating it was illegal to joke about bombs in the airport. And told the TSA agent, don't worry, you don't have to worry about me, ma'am. I take my bombs very seriously. The actors came back to hastily reshoot scenes where newlyweds obsess over the cool fellow newlywed couple. Okay, what do you think of that?
I actually do think that's interesting. Because, as we mentioned earlier, it is just a month after the terrorist attacks. So, that also gives us insight into the fact that they filmed this before, like over a month before,
right? Or way before, yeah. I mean, they would have had to have filmed it. They probably filmed it in the summer of 2001.
Right. So that's interesting.
But the reshoots, like, sound way better as well. Like, joking about having a bomb on the plane and being arrested, I feel like is in every, like, sitcom or every... Yeah. Like, that feels very cliched, whereas the... I enjoyed the like being jealous of the other newlyweds. I thought that was pretty good. In the opening scene, Phoebe is wearing a sweater that looks just like the one Ross and Tag both have.
That's funny. I would have never noticed that. So that's interesting.
Okay, let's see. We'll do a couple more. The original script had the intention of a running gag that Ross, the one with a PhD, doesn't know much about many things, as he was intended to freak out about both the condom ineffectiveness and not seeing the baby on the ultrasound. However, the writers later decided that it would make more sense for Rachel, being the inexperienced mother, to freak out about the ultrasound. So the script changed, the episode was filmed.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. He's actually been through this with Carol.
But he probably wasn't he probably wasn't at the first sonogram, right? Because they had broken up at that point.
Yeah, I don't think a PhD makes you know how to view a sonogram, but, like, it makes more sense that Rachel wouldn't get it. In my opinion, I think that would have been very weird with someone with a child to have not gotten it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Traeger asks Ross to tell their yoga teacher, Jasmine, that he won't be able to make it to their class. This is probably the same Jasmine who is Phoebe's former co-worker and Gunther's roommate. Do you remember that when Ross was running around, like...
Yeah, no, I don't remember at all, but that's interesting.
Okay, do you want a bit of sad news?
Oh, no.
This is the final appearance of Mike Haggerty as Traeger.
Oh, why?
Just cause. Okay. Just cause. He's not dead or anything. That's it.
Okay. Well, those are good.
Yeah. All right, well, another one in the books, eh? Good to be back.
Good to be back.
Good to be back. We're going to keep bashing these out. That was day 3 of 7 podcasts in 7 days. We've got 4 more episodes to go. And then we'll just get back to releasing an episode every, 4 or 5 years.
Sounds good, Michael.
Alright. Thanks, man. You doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
Alright. See you next time.
Bye.
Thank you all for listening.